أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Listening of the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. Once again, alhamdulillah, we've arrived at the holy month of Ramadan. As we all already know, this is a very, very special month. The Holy Prophet, in a sermon that has been narrated through different sources, has told us that this month he addressed the people saying, the month of Allah, Shahrullah, is coming. In this month, we are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sermon, the Holy Prophet tells the people that this is a special month. You're the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this session, or this diyafa, as the hadith says, is different from the normal diyafat that we have. Recite salawat. The normal diyafat that we have, when we're invited over someone's house, we go and have a meal. But in this holy month, we're actually supposed to stay away from food. We're supposed to stay away from drinking. We're supposed to stay away from a lot of things that we enjoy. This is a special one. It's a spiritual one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has invited us. This is a special month. There's a lot of preparation for this month. First, there's the month of Rajab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that month a special month. He tells us that if you want to prepare for the month of Ramadan, you istighfar, you ask God for forgiveness. In Sha'ban, there's other du'as, munajats, and finally, we arrive at the month of Ramadan. But this month, the importance of this month is such that the fast becomes wajib. In Rajab or Sha'ban, if you want to fast, it's great, it's mustahab. It's recommended. But in Ramadan, it's so important, you have to fast. This month we have Laylatul Qadr. In Laylatul Qadr, all the affairs until the next year are going to be set and be written. So as we know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we make our own personality, we work for what we are. We don't just pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us a better person, we wake up next morning and we're a great person. No, we make who we are. So the layali, in the nights of Qadr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to write these things, first He makes sure we have earned what we're going to become. So He tells us, for those who are going to be good people, you have to fast. It's wajib. Recite salawat. So it's important that in this month we work on our spirituality. The aim of fasting as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran, is to reach the state of taqwa, to become taqi. In Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the fast becoming wajib, He says that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become God-fearing. Taqwa is the stepping stone for higher levels of spirituality. I want to talk about spirituality on, inshallah, on these nights that we hear, so we can get to know a little more about this. What is spirituality? Say salam. Today, throughout the world, especially in the West, we hear a lot of talk about spirituality. You don't see it on the streets. What you see on the streets is actually all worldly things. But what a lot of people are talking about, and there's a hype about it, is spirituality. A lot of spiritual schools of thought are becoming pretty common out here in the West. Throughout the world, but especially here we see it. Buddhists, there's a move towards Buddhism, a lot of Westerners, people that would originally be Christian are turning Buddhist, or Hinduism, people are moving towards that type of spirituality. In Islam, the Muslims have different schools of thought when it comes to spirituality. The non-Shias, inside the Shias, there's different schools of thought of spirituality. Some of us may have heard, some of us may not have heard. What is spirituality? What is spirituality? What are we trying to gain in spirituality? People that want to go towards spirituality, besides Salamat, they feel something missing in there. It's what the West is moving towards, has moved, and is moving towards developments in the worldly aspects, right? Yeah. Nice cars, nice roads, nice everything. Everything's working very smoothly. You got a job, you get your money, you pay your bills, you have your house. Everything's going well. But once you have all of that, once people have all of that, then they start, everything starts calming down, then you start feeling something within that's missing. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this in our fitrah. So they start going towards spirituality. They want to know, or they want to become more spiritual. How do we become more spiritual? They start talking about spiritual things. Start talking about like these spiritual people and what they did. Things that are not material. When we start talking about spirituality, some of the youth, when they want to talk about the example, Atla Bahjah, well, I think we've all heard his name. He's known as a spiritual person, as a spiritual scholar. A lot of people, when they want to talk about his spirituality, and show that he's so spiritual, like, oh, he can be in two places at one time. It's very spiritual. He can travel from one place to the other in a matter of, I don't know, how many seconds. Or anything. This is spirituality. When they want to talk about spirituality, they say when you go in His presence, He looks at you and He can tell who you are. He sees your reality. You don't look human. Start saying, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, asking God for forgiveness. when they want to go in His presence to make sure that God does not reveal to him what they really look like. When we talk about spirituality, all these different things start coming up. You know why? Because we really don't know what is spirituality. What are we trying to gain in spirituality? What direction are we trying to take in spirituality? Is it a feeling? Am I supposed to feel something within me? The spirituality that people move towards when they start feeling that lack inside them. You know what? It's like a painkiller when they start reading these books about the Buddha or Hinduism, or pick up Ibn Arabi or some of these other books. They start reading it. It makes them feel really good about themselves. And, you know, that deals with that feeling that they have inside, the feeling that they're lacking something. When you read that stuff, you start feeling a little spiritual and like, okay, this is it. What is spirituality? What are we trying to get out of spirituality? What is called spirituality? If I can do a dhikr and I can be in Najaf at the same time as I'm speaking here to you, is that being spiritual? If I can read your face, look at your face and start, okay, this brother here is like this or like that, is that spirituality? Who's supposed to tell us what spirituality is? Because of this thirst of spirituality and people moving towards it, there's a lot of people actually taking advantage of that. Did you know that? There's a lot of schools of thought all of a sudden popping out. There's this sheikh or the other sheikh or that sheikh. You know, he's got these teachings. Wow. When you go in his presence, it's like this and like that. How do we know what is true spirituality? How do we know that we're moving on the right path? There's some crazy stuff going on in the name of spirituality. Crazy stuff. Not just here, or I don't even know, maybe it's here, maybe it's not, I don't know. But in the Muslim world, in the Shia world, inside Qom, there's some crazy stuff going on. Spirituality. You know, the spiritual teacher, when they start teaching their spiritual lessons, okay, because spirituality is this vague thing that you don't know what it is, okay, they start giving you some teachings. They tell you, you do this. I remember once I was told by this pseudo, whatever you want to call him, that you gotta put this, before I started wearing the imamah, so you gotta put this kufi on your head and wear an abba, and for 12 nights you do this ziyarat Ali Yasin. Afterwards, you'll see the difference. You really see the difference. Now, if you don't see any difference, you go, champ, you didn't do it the right way. If you've done it the right way, then you felt the difference. So it says, yeah, you do this, then you're gonna have a dream like this. And you're going to have that type of dream. And you know what? You know, after a while, you just start making it up. You start thinking, yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting what this sheikh is telling me. So people get attached to this person, and he's telling them what to do and what not to do. And gradually, whatever this guy says is the right thing. You know where they end up? I don't like saying this on the minbar, but there was a sheikh in Qom that had these spiritual teachings for a bunch of young people, boys and girls. After some time where he had arrived, he had, you know, gotten these guys really attached to him. He had sexual contact with all of them in the name of spirituality. What is spirituality? How do I know I'm not attached to the wrong person? What direction are we taking? Is it this feeling inside me when this person starts telling me, you take these steps, you do this dua, you do that dhikr, and you start feeling, is that feeling what I'm looking for? So that when I start getting that, then I feel like, okay, this is the right person. I need to, these are the right teachings. What am I supposed to do? Let's look at it from the Quranic perspective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to pray 5 times a day. What's He going to tell us to do that for? What did He create us for? Did He create us for what? Is this spirituality something that I like, or is something that actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to get to? Something that He wants me to get to. He's supposed to instruct me. He tells me to pray 5 times a day. And in this prayer, I have got to recite the surah of the Holy Quran, Surah Fatiha. 5 times a day, in turakas of these 5 prayers, I've got to recite Surah Hamd. If I don't do it, the prayer is not valid. In this surah, we're always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. What is this right now? What is this straight path? If this is the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be on, and He has created us to reach proximity to Him, this is a path that's supposed to get us there. What is this path? What is this straight path of Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim? Recite Salawat. In Surah Yasin, in other surahs as well, but in Surah Yasin, this is one of the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what this Sirat al-Mustaqim is supposed to be. In verse 60, it starts 60 and 61. Well, I'll read from 59. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment refers to the mujrimun, people that have done wrong, that separate. You guys come aside. You're not going to paradise. أَلَمْ أَعَهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Did I not tell you not to follow shaitan, not to be obedient to shaitan? إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. This verse 61 is key. وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. And I told you to worship me, this is the straight path. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. The صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ that in Surah Hamd we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 10 times a day at least, if we don't do any mustahab prayers, guide us to the straight path. What is that? Ibadah. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the man and the jinn except for that they worship. Ibadah. The goal that we are supposed to reach in our lives as human beings, the purpose of creation of human beings, is ibadah. This is where it's supposed to arrive. We're supposed to will the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wanted us to. We should want to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. This is ibadah. If you want to go towards spirituality, If we want to move in that direction, it is a direction of ibadah that we need to take. Let's expand on this a little bit. When we talk about spirituality, the goal should be reaching proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not gaining these little funny things that they call spiritual powers, because you could do that even through other means. In India, they talk about some weird things going on some people can do. But that's not spirituality. That's not true spirituality. Yes, that's the force of the spirit, but that doesn't mean it's proper spirituality. That doesn't mean you've reached proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This spirituality is something we want to move towards so that in the real life, the hereafter, we're going to be in a better place. What's going to get us there? Want to reach proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we reach proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This ibadah that is mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, is telling us that if you want to take this path, if you want to take the path of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have got to obey what He has said. Obedience not only in these prayers that we have, not only obedience in fasting, but obedience in even obtaining the information about how to move closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, this is logical, I'll explain a little afterwards, but this is ibadah. Does it make sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to get close to Him, and we have to ask somebody else to tell us how to get close to Him? How would anyone else know how to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's the Creator. He knows how we are. He knows how He has created us. Now somebody else is going to come and tell me how I reach this stage, how I reach the goal of my creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell us. Part of the ibadah, okay, this true spirituality and reaching close and nearness and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obeying Him, is listening to what He says, doing what He says, taking the path that He says. Okay. أَنِ اعْبُدُونِ هَذَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ هَذَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. If we want to choose a spiritual path, we don't choose whatever makes me feel good. That's not the path we're supposed to take. We're supposed to take the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. And that's only logical, as I said. The goal of spirituality should be we get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, these little fun things to do with the soul, okay, you can gain that through other means. That's not the goal of spirituality. The goal of spirituality is getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can tell us, like, if you know where your house is and you're telling someone to come to your house, who's going to give the directions? Who's going to tell people where your house is? You're going to tell them where it is to find it. This is only logical. If we want to move on a spiritual path, the spiritual path is the path of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have got to listen what He has got to say about this. We have to listen to what the Ahlul Bayt have said about this. And this is important. Now the last bit that I want to talk about this, or about this issue, the last bit of it, is this only makes sense. I mean, what I've said up till now, okay, is very logical, I think. That if we want to move, I mean, this is what we believe in as Shias, right? that the right things, the guidance that we are supposed to obtain is through the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt. The Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt are the ones that are going to be telling us what direction to take in life. But the reason why I had to emphasize this point is that when it comes to spirituality, it seems like that's not enough for a lot of people. It seems like that doesn't do the job. We think that, no, I already pray. I already fast, for God's sake. But I don't see any difference in me. I don't feel to be spiritual. I see some people that are more spiritual. Or I feel something inside me. I feel that this is not the path. This is not what I'm supposed to do. If I want to become spiritual, I got to do something else. But what is the goal of this? As we said, the Holy Quran tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the fasting has been made wajib on you. It's an obligation. You become muttaqi, you become pious people, you become good people. And with this piety is when the spirituality starts. One of the, you know, taqwa, the lowest level, the minimum level of taqwa is to perform the wajib acts and to stay away from the muharrama, the haram. One of the shu'arafa was asked, can you reach the state of nafsul mutma'inna? Only doing the wajibat muharramat, performing the wajibat and staying away from muharramat, said yes. This is supposed to make us spiritual, brothers and sisters. If we're not feeling any spiritual, okay, if we're not feeling any spiritual at all for doing these actions, then we're not doing them in the right way. One of the important parts of the spiritual path is staying away from the sins, from the muharramat, which the numbers of those are a lot more than the wajibat that we have. There's more things that we need to stay away from than the things that we need to actually do. Maybe we're not doing that right. Amir al-Mu'mineen, a hadith has asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the best act in the holy month of Ramadan? It says, Al-wara'u an maharimillah. Stay away from the muharramat. Staying away from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us. Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all these laws for us? If this is not supposed to get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in every single act of ibadah that we have, we're supposed to have this intention that I want to reach proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this. If this is not going to get me there, then what is? The spiritual path of Islam are the practical laws of Islam. If you want to become spiritual, practice all of the rulings that Islam has made. The Islamic spirituality does not mean you sit in your house and you feel very spiritual. No, it doesn't even matter if you feel that or not. That feeling is not important. We don't work for that feeling. We work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you have that feeling, sometimes you don't. That's not important. What's important is ibadah. I created you for ibadah. If I'm doing the right thing, even if I'm not feeling all that great about myself, I'm on that spiritual journey. If I want to move towards a spiritual path, I already know. Now there's levels above taqwa, the minimum level of taqwa as well. Obviously, there's, as the hadith says, the levels of the mu'mineen are the same number as the mu'mineen themselves. Every person has their own level. We can raise our status. It's not only that bare minimum of wajibat and muharramat. There's way, you know, the level's way above that. Way above that. That's the bare minimum which, speaking for myself, struggling at. there's levels way above that. If we want to reach those stages, where do we get that from? For this stage, the wajibat muharramah, well, I'll pick up the risala and hope to God that all the actions that I want, I can find an answer in there. Because unfortunately, that's not the case. There are things that you need to, email the office or whatever. You can't find everything in the risala. You have to, send questions. You have to be active, more active to give all the answers you need to be able to practice your life as a Muslim for that minimum level of wajibat and muharramat. Okay. Now, if I want to move above that, where do I get my information from? How do I find that? This is where we struggle. This is where a lot of people in the name of Shia spirituality move off the path. At the beginning, the example that I mentioned, those young boys and girls never thought they would commit such a sin in the name of spirituality. If they would have been told right at the beginning, you're going to be doing this, we're like, oh, stay away from me. Okay, I know that's wrong. The thing is, because they didn't know, they get stuck with this shit that's going to take them down the wrong path. Where do I get my information from? How am I supposed to identify what's right and what's wrong? There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of adhkar and do this and gatherings, and weirdos coming in, things hanging from their necks. Okay, which one am I supposed to be in? Is that something for me to go to? For that too, we've got to refer to the Ahlul Bayt. I find it kind of funny that for issues regarding fiqh, okay, we've got to refer to the Holy Quran and Hadith to identify what is wajib and what is mustahab and these little things. Okay, how much a person gets inheritance. What happens if I do this? What happens if I do that? I have to refer to these sources. But when it comes to an issue so important, the issue of spirituality, which people can go astray that easily, I don't have to refer to that. Isn't that funny? But when it comes to these issues, like I had, this person told me I do this, and I just start doing that because I want to try it out. Do you do anything like that when it comes to fiqh? Let me try it out. Is today the first of Ramadan or yesterday? Let me try it out. Or I do prayer like this or like that. Can we try out something like that? Why is it when it comes to spirituality, we all of a sudden just, trying anything out without knowing where this comes from? It seems like, as I said, when it comes to spirituality, we don't really feel like we're supposed to get this from the Ahlul Bayt. I don't know why. Is there anyone else that can guide us to this? How can anyone else know? I know Shia youth that start reading Hindu books as they think that's very spiritual. Want to move on in the spiritual path? The only path that we have is the path of the Ahlul Bayt. We don't have a second path. Any other path is going to lead us astray. This is not a field that you want to mess around and try, let me try this and let me try that. No, you try that, okay, it's going to get you in a very, very bad spot. We have got to compare everything, all the teachings that we hear, we get in any book from any teacher, we've got to compare it to the Quran and the Sunnah. There's hadith we have from the Ahlul Bayt. It says, anything that human beings need until the Day of Judgment is either in the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. Now, isn't this something important that human beings would need until the Day of Judgment? We're supposed to have it. We have answers in the Holy Quran and in the hadith. We've got to evaluate what we get from other sources with this source. When a person is telling me, you do this, it has this effect, I got to check it with this source. Does it have that effect? Does it not have that effect? Where did this guy come up with it? If I have the tools to be able to do that, then I can do it myself. If I've already studied, I know the language, I know the sciences that are required to find out which hadith is authentic, which hadith is not. How do I use the Holy Quran with the hadith? How do I, the different hadith, contradictions, this hadith book, that hadith. If I know all of that, then I can check it out myself. If I don't, what do? Just like what we do in fiqh issues. You refer to an expert, to all issues actually. This is just common sense. You refer to an expert. I'm mentioning this for a reason, okay? I don't know how many of you have come across this point, or this I call a problem, okay? That teachings come in, spiritual teachings come in without having any type of verification, without anyone verifying whether this is the right information, this is the right path, this is the right proper teaching, or it's not. It's important that we do that. If I can't, if I don't know how to verify whether this information is right or not, then I need to refer to someone that can. I can't just pick that up because this guy looks so spiritual, because his face looks, you know, he's got so much light in that face. I'll just take it from him. How do I know? If we truly follow the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, in spirituality we will reach those higher stages. You may even reach stages where the Imam will come and tell you what are the next steps to get to. This is something that's happened. We know the guidance comes from the Ahlul Bayt. There's so much mentioned in the Ahadith to a certain level. After that, it's not really mentioned. Well, now, you know why? Because we wouldn't understand it. It's not to our language. One of those people, there's a line of Urafa, true Arifs, that the person that's the main teacher in all of this, the chain, let me call it, the chain of these guys, goes back to the Imam. It was an individual that was practicing his responsibilities. He was actually a judge. Sayyid Ali Shushtari, they called him. He was a judge in Najaf. Taking care of his responsibilities, he was a pious person. He had akhlaq classes he would teach others. Sheikh Ansari, by the way, was in his akhlaq class. And when he had done enough, all he had to his exposal to, you know, from the ahadith, when the time came that he's ready, the Imam sent someone to teach him, to give him the extra information of how to get above that level. This month is a very important month, brothers and sisters. We can get a head start for the next months of this year, so that next year we can start at a higher level, inshallah. The du'as that we have for this holy month are very special. It's dua iftitah. Read the translation. I'm sure some of you at least have. But read the translation. Try to pay attention to that. And try, when you're reading these du'as, this is one example, try to read it knowing that you're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. If you get time, it's too long to do it in one session for most of us. You get to do like parts of it. These du'as that we have, these are actually the training that we have. It fixes the way we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way we believe in Him. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to benefit from this holy month the way He wants us to. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our 12th Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents and all those who have taught us a word in Islam, to forgive them of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to our maraja, ulama, all those who are helping the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially our leader, bin Nabiya wa alihi rahimahullah.